Okay, good evening, Rabbi Isai. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem is a better thing to say than good evening. We'll say both. Okay, we are in Shaar HaBitachon, Perek Dalid. In the paragraph that starts, Avol Perush HaChelek HaShlishi. In my edition of the Lev Tov, it's page Shin Mem Aleph. Please indulge me. Okay. The Chavetz Chavovis is doing a very interesting piece here. He is now discussing how Bitochen applies to a person's social slash familial state, where he fits in with other people. And he began discussing right now the loner, the person who lives by himself, doesn't have family or isn't living with family. And the Chavetz Chavovis is doing something interesting and original and very profound, startling in a sense, but very profound. We always naturally tend to the understanding that the way the Torah sets it up is that a person should be married, with a family, having a family is considered a bracha. And the Chavetz Chavovis is now talking to the person who doesn't have children, doesn't have a wife, and he's telling him some things that we might never dare say. And he tells him, he says, realize that not having a family has benefits. Not having a family has benefits. What benefits does it have? So he says, and here's where we'll begin. This is the point. We saw a number of points that he made yesterday. Here's where we'll begin. V'yachshev achar kach he should think about the fact that he is exempt from the encumbrances, from the obligations, from the commitments of family. And consider that a chesed that you received from Hashem. Now, I hope we're not going to reach a situation of getting it so good that a person who has family is going to think, wow, that person, that loner, has it set up right. But the Chavetz Chavovis is giving a perspective here that the loner should live with. He says, when it comes to caring for yourself materially, a person who lives by himself, without a wife, without a husband, without children, material concern is much simpler. And the fact that he doesn't have them provides him with more leisure, a more relaxed and easier life, and that's a benefit. And also, he says, when it comes to Ruchnius, if he wants to engage in Ruchnius Dikah programs, when a person is by himself, when a person is in solitude, his mind, it's more conducive for contemplation, for meditation, for connecting. Okay. And therefore, he says, there were pious people who would make a point. This is, I want to just remind everybody that the Chavetz Chavovis predates Breslov. He tells us that the pious of old, they used to go away. They would go into the mountains. They would go into the forests. In order to clear their minds, to have clarity for Avodas Hashem. This certainly doesn't mean that they would forsake their families, but what it does mean is that every so often they would go for whatever amount of time, be it an hour, be it a day, whatever it is, every so often to go there for the purpose of reconnecting in solitude, in tranquility, etc. וכן היו הנביאים בזמן הנבואה יוצאים ממעונסיהם. Similarly, the Nevi'im in the times of Nevuah would leave their homes ומסבודדים לחובס הבורא עליהם, and they would go into solitude again for certain periods at a time to pursue their spiritual programs. כמו שידעת מעניין אליהו עם אלישע. This is what Eliyahu did with Elisha. He took him, when he wanted to really turn him into a proper disciple, he took him away from his social setting and took him with him out into the wilderness. It says about Elisha, that he was leading a whole team of plowers. And Eliyahu wanted to make him a disciple, but it wouldn't work as long as he was engaged. So the Kivan Sharomas Eliyahu, once Eliyahu gave him a bit of a hint as to what he was designating him for, he understood it and he said, Eshkan Allahu Imi Velchacharecha, let me go kiss my mother and father goodbye, and I'll come with you. It says that he followed Eliyahu and he served him. Meaning he went with him to his life of solitude, of distance from society. Now, what we're going to see now is a little is extreme. The Chavetz Chaim is drawing on this to bring out a point, even though this is not the derech of Judaism. We've already discussed that Torah is there to provide, Hashem wants us to live a material life. And Torah is there to provide us with the right balance of how to work materialism and spirituality together, a material life and a spiritual life together. So what we're about to see now is not a Torah approach, but the Chavetz Chaim is going to draw on it as an example, right? These are people who took a certain Torah ideal, but they took it to an extreme versus the Torah's more balanced approach. So he wants to use it as an example to illustrate that aspect. Yeah, we wouldn't do it in this extreme way, but it's to illustrate that aspect. I want to note that it's like that with a lot of things. The universal concept of humaneness comes from the Torah. It's the influence of the Torah on the world at large. And that's where they got their concept of Enolam Lachaveray. And that lemaisa manifests in liberalism. Liberalism is a Torah ideal taken without the balance of the Torah, and therefore it turns into something destructive. But the concept essentially comes from a Torah concept, just that it's been abused because of the lack of balance. So he's showing another thing. This is a certain aspect that actually is a Torah ideal just done without balance. But he wants to draw on it just in order to make the point. So the story is told about one of the tzaddikim. Shenichnas l'mdino achas. In the Chavis Halvavis, we use the word tzaddik, he uses the word parosh. Parosh, for our purposes, translates as tzaddik. Shenichnas l'mdino achas, v'yos es yeshva avodas elikim. He came into some town to instruct the people. V'yimtza'im loiv shim tzeva echad. He found them all wearing the same exact color. They were all dressed exactly the same color. The same black, orange, brown, whatever it was. The same colored robe, the same colored cap. Everybody wearing exactly the same thing. He also noticed that there were a number of huts where each person resided. And at the entrance, right, alongside the entrance, there was an open grave, an open fresh grave. And it struck him that in the town, there was no woman. He said, what's going on here? This is like a very strange setup for a town. And they told him as follows. This is not really where we live. They explained like this. They said, this is where we come for a certain, call it spiritual recharging. Meaning as follows. The reason we're all wearing the same color is because we do not want there to be any distinction between the pauper and the rich man. Here, it's all the same. We don't want the rich man to be feeling superior now in any way. Here, we set it up such that that simply isn't relevant. We also don't want a situation where the poor person is inferior in his own eyes. Now, a bank account is something abstract. We're all living exactly the same way, same clothing, same conditions. And therefore, we all dress exactly the same. And because we want experience living over the earth in the same manner as we're going to reside under the earth one day. Once buried, not going to be much of a difference between the rich man and the poor man, right? Even if one has more expensive shrouds and a fancier coffin, give it a couple of weeks, and it all makes no difference. They say, you know what? We want to experience that already now. We want to gain the benefit of internalizing that reality now. They also told him that they'd say about one of the kings, that he would mingle among his subjects and you couldn't tell that he was the king. Because, again, he did not want to be conceited, and therefore, he would dress like a commoner, everything that he wore. So that's as far as the uniform dress. The reason that we put our graves right at our doors, so that we should constantly be reminded of the next stage of life, death, the next stage of life, really. And therefore, we'll constantly be reminded. So, we're not going to move from this room to that room, right, from a bedroom to a grave. And we will be busy caring for ourselves when we get to that place, too. I'll just add an anecdote that we'll end with now. In the middle of the Chavis Havav is developing his delicate point, but I'll just add briefly an anecdote. They say that there was a very, very wealthy man who left a will that he said he wants it to be open immediately upon his death, before his burial. And then another one that should be open later at the end of the Shiva, whenever, the broader one. But there's one aspect of the will that he wants to be opened immediately upon his death. When he died, they opened his will, that will, and it said in it, I am requesting to be buried with this and this pair of socks, specific pair of socks he named. I'm asking to be buried in that pair of socks. That was it. The children were rather startled, and they also didn't know what to do because it's against the halacha. So the father is asking for it in his will. They didn't know. They went, they consulted with the Pesach, the Rav, whoever it was, and he told them, it's against the halacha, you can't do it. This was our father's request. He said, now that he's in the Olam HaEmes and he sees what's good for him, he doesn't want you to bury him in his socks. Even though he asked for it, don't bury him in his socks. So they buried him in the normal fashion without his socks, contrary to that one request that he made. When they opened his other will at the end of the Shiva, he says, I imagine that you asked a Shaila and were told that I should not be buried in my socks. Apparently, he had actually clarified the issue beforehand. And he said, my intent was to teach you all a lesson. I was a very wealthy man. And look, once the time came, I couldn't even take along a pair of socks. Bear that in mind. Keep that lesson in mind. This was his last, instead of his last request, what it really was his last chinuch lesson to his children. Okay, again, we're ending in a very delicate piece of Chavis Halvavis right in the middle. But okay, we'll have to leave it here and Emitz Hashem, round out the picture Bli Neder tomorrow.